This is episode 104 of The Variety Artist. This is John Abrams, your host, and that guy that interviews successful variety artists from around the world every single week. With lots of entertainers staying home, now is the perfect time to catch up on any of the Variety Artist podcasts that you've missed. Heck, you can even binge listen. I'll be like the Netflix of podcasting. Lots of us have extra time on our hands. For many of us, these are challenging times. Well, I have the perfect interview for these times. Today's guest is going to give us strategies to help us through. Sure, we have fun in the interview, but we also talk about the serious issues of the day and what you can do to come out of all this better than you started. In fact, he even has a special offer to help you get through those times. I've put a special link on his show notes page and on my website that'll take you straight to it. Some great stuff here. Now on with the show.
Welcome to The Variety Artist, providing aspiring artists and entertainers with in-depth discussions from top performers from all over the world. So get ready to book some gigs, make some money, and have some fun with your host, John Abrams.
He has the largest chain of media outlets in the world for kids entertainers, balloon artists, and professionals. He and his team produce free educational podcasts and build premium life-changing laser-focused schools. You know him from Kids Entertainer Academy and the Balloon Artist College and his newest venture, the Generous Marriage Podcast. Variety Artist, I give you Ziv Raviv, a.k.a. Zivy Kibby.
Hello, John. Hello, Variety Artist Podcast Nation. What's up?
How you doing, Zivy?
I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much for all that you do. Man, you are amazing with your generosity. I'm just so thrilled to be here.
Well, you know, the feeling is mutual, my friend. Now, where am I talking to you? Where are you right now?
So I'm at the Kibby Media headquarters in Israel, where I live with my family. I work from home doing all those podcasts in schools, and I also perform locally in Israel. So yeah.
Are you marketing all over the world?
As an entertainer, I only perform locally as like with Kibby Media, with our schools. We have students from USA, Canada, the UK, Australia, and basically anywhere else that people are listening to podcasts that are presented in English.
So does that mean that all of your websites and everything, all your promotional material is all in English?
Indeed. Yes. Actually, locally, I don't have a lot of people that listen to the podcasts because people are more used to listen to podcasts in Hebrew. Our listenership is from all over the world.
You started with balloons, right? Was it balloons or magic?
I started with magic when I was a software engineer in Japan. I went over to a toy shop called Kiddyland and bought a few magic tricks there. Just fell in love totally and immediately with magic. Started to perform while being in Japan in the streets of Japan in Tokyo. And then when I came back home for like a year, I started to perform for my family like we all do in the beginning.
Yeah.
My wife suggested I pick up balloons. I fell in love with balloons totally. They pretty much took off significantly as a performer.
When you were performing, were you doing more balloons or more magic at that time?
At the beginning, it was something like, I would say, 50-50. Mm-hmm. I would say it still is 50-50. I love like looking into my magic and trying to realize what am I doing with my audience. And when I do balloons, I actually believe I do real magic. It feels like it.
And the nice thing about knowing magic and balloons, like Buster Balloon does, is you can combine the two to make a really spectacular effect.
Totally. Like there's no one that does it better than Buster Balloon.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of ways to incorporate balloons into a show, from props that will become later a part of a story, even with balloon storytelling, like Annie Benani does, for example. Mm-hmm. Personally, I use the balloons for both the routines and for empowering a birthday kid with a special balloon. I even decorate some of my events that are premium feed. I just love how people react to the balloons. It's so magical.
It is magical. It's colorful. Kids love them. Adults love them, even though sometimes they don't want to admit it. But they do.
They do.
So with your magic and balloons, have you entered any competitions or do you volunteer anywhere or anything like that?
At the beginning of my journey as a magician, I was really putting a lot of efforts into building my material and writing new content and numbers. And I did compete locally in Israel. I won the second place in the Tournament of Magicians, the National Tournament of Magicians that we had here in 2012. And then I also won like a fast balloon twister competition locally. I didn't compete anywhere else. Focused my journey on education. I didn't continue with that, but yes, a little bit.
Wow. So you competed in a magic contest and a balloon contest. That's great.
Yes.
That's
in
great.
Two different occasions. Yeah.
Well, since we're talking about business, let's get into this, because this is your main focus now, right?
It is.
This COVID-19 thing, this coronavirus, has really affected us here in the States. Has it been a big deal in Israel?
It is a big deal. I'm hoping that by the time people are hearing this, they know it's even a bigger deal, but they listen to this and they are hoping that like it will soon go away. And I do predict that it will go away soon. Mm-hmm. So right now in Israel, you're not allowed to go out to an event where there's more than 10 people. Uh-huh. Only up to 10. So basically all the event industry is shut down. You can't go to the cinema. You can't go to a restaurant. The entire business is shut down. And I find this situation an amazing opportunity for many entertainers out there. It's an opportunity to use the time to go back to your business, to the roots, to work on your marketing assets, to polish your act, to increase improve your skills, and to sell your existing services as is for the future, for like a future date with some sort of a coronavirus insurance where people are allowed to shift their date into another date for free. Even if it's a high demand date, you allow them with the coronavirus insurance, you allow your customers to shift the date to another date, even if it's a higher demand date. You give them priority over the date, which is something you can always claim.
Wait, that's a great idea. Let's stop there for a second. So you're talking about an insurance policy. When you sell your show, you say, hey, here's my show. For an additional whatever X amount of dollars, you can have an insurance policy that says if this show cancels because of coronavirus or any specific thing, they can reschedule to a different time, anytime.
Basically, I don't even need to sell the insurance for extra money. I can just use it as a leverage for talking with someone in the middle of this corona craze and still get them to trust me and work with me. So right now, everyone are uncertain. They're afraid to book you even into like 2 months from now. They're not sure if the event will happen or not. 4 months from now, they're even afraid.
Yeah.
But if you give them something like the corona insurance, they are actually protected. So you tell them, no matter what date you need in 2020, I will be giving you the same price, the same, you will get priority in choosing the date, and you will get, even if it's a high demand date, you will get the date for the same price. And if you need to reschedule again because of corona, after rescheduling, you need to reschedule again, as long as it's within 2020, you are allowed to do that. All I ask in return for the insurance is my 30 or 50% deposit. If you pay in full, I will give you a 10 or 20% discount.
There you go.
You can overcome this situation by just selling your existing show, by doing your marketing in exactly the same way, only show that you're aware that there's a white elephant in the room, which is the coronavirus.
Are there any other strategies that you can think of just off the top of your head?
It's all about listening to what is happening every single day. So if today in America, there's a lot of places where there's no milk, this should be your angle. It should be, you know, using the fact that people are aware of the fact that there's no milk. So it might be that you have a video of you drinking milk and saying, hey, when I come to your event, I will bring a gallon of milk on me for every show. Or it might be something else that you tie into milk.
In the US, it's toilet paper for some crazy reason.
Yeah. So toilet paper on certain countries are missing, milk on some other countries. You need to listen and you need to adjust to every single day that is happening, because the corona is changing everything really, really fast.
Yes.
But if you are calling a school or a village that might book you for a show or a city town hall or whatnot or a library, you're talking with them, every single day will be a new day. It will have a new message that you need to tailor according to the events in your area. Mm. Yes, you might call a librarian and they might be pissed because right now it's a hard day for her.
Yeah.
And you need to apologize and you need to tell her, I'm sorry. And then you need to call her the next day and apologize again because you really are worried that she is not okay and you care for her. And then you sell your show again the next day. Like you can still do whatever marketing it is that you do. If you do SEO, keep doing SEO. If you're doing cold calls or an email outreach or Instagram, whatever it is, just keep doing what you're really good at. If you're not good at any of these, then you need to learn and use this time to just improve your skills with that.
I'll tell you what I'm doing right now is I'm doing online classes for kids, teaching magic. And I think anything that somebody can do, if you can convert whatever you do online, it might help you pass this hard time, but it may create an extra stream of income for when everything is back to normal, if everything goes back to normal.
I think that's smart, especially if it is not in competition to what you will do in the future. So let's say if you're a weekend worker and you're now selling something that will eventually create an income stream for the middle of the week, then you're not really competing with one another so much. The only loss that you are losing is like loss of time on developing your marketing for your number one moneymaker. So I work with the 80-20 rule. I see the 80-20 rule, the Pareto law, in action very, very often. In general, the Pareto law means 20% of your income
right.
is generated by 80% of the efforts. And 80% of your income is generated by 20% of your efforts.
Right. And the idea is to get rid of the dead weight and give yourself a better ratio, right?
Yes. Focusing on the stuff that work. Mm. So in terms of like teaching kids right now, it's a good opportunity if you're going to do it anyway. But if it's only for like the next 6 weeks or even 12 weeks, then I think that if you can survive without it, you will actually be better off if you sell your number one service or show, which generates 80% of your money on an annual level.
Because you don't want to replace high income with a low income maker.
Exactly. You want to position yourself so that when the peak comes, look, guys, there will be a peak. So once we are out of Corona, the demand for entertainment will go up by much because people were waiting for celebrations. People need to celebrate. It's a human need to celebrate those birthdays and to celebrate in all sorts of successes moments and in special moments and even educational moments. All those events will peak. Now you want to position yourself in the best way possible towards the peak. You want to be there ready with the messages, ready with your marketing, ready with your new show, ready with the advantage, and also that people will remember you. Let's take a look at the guy that markets himself with, for example, search engine optimization over Google. He always updates his website, mm-hmm. and he's now stopping his work for 6 to 12 weeks. Well, Google is going to pick it up. They're going to notice that he stopped updating his show and started to sell private lessons. Google is not going to like that. So it's going to hurt your marketing on the longer run. If instead Google will see that you're the only website that is still updating itself because all the rest of the artists are depressed, unfortunately, then you're going to have an edge. The same goes with Facebook marketing. You will get better at Facebook marketing if you practice it. It's not something that is easy to master. So you might as well use this time to continue polishing your number one moneymaker service and your number one marketing tunnel. Here's the thing. A year from now or 6 months from now, when you'll go back and ask yourself, what made me be in front of the right people at the right time. Mm-hmm. It's your show. Your show is generating more shows for you.
Right.
Your show is when someone might come in and say, I want to book you for 10 shows. Right. Like your show is the number one priority in your business. If you'll go and do like a private party over Zoom. Yeah, like a Zoom is some technology for video video sharing and basically like Skype.
Yeah.
So you do birthday now through Zoom. You make less money because that's what you can charge. No one sees you practically. You're not getting more than big shows as a result of that. All you get from Zoom is more Zoom.
Right.
On the overall, you're basically lowering your chances of leveraging all of the strengths that you have, and you're going to make on an annual level less money.
I see what you're saying.
Ouch.
Do you think that this is just kind of an opinion question. Do you think that once this whole thing subsides, that people will be fearful of it happening again?
I don't think so. I think that, yes, the governments will not go back to normal business immediately. It will be a transition phase. And in the transition phase, they might have all sorts of special rules, like up to 100 people, up to 200, and
right.
It will slowly go back. I do think it will be a transition. I think that the data will be very encouraging by the time we get to the peak. I know I might eat my hat later and might later need to be wrong, but I actually predict 6 weeks will already show us a huge improvement. But it's going to be way harder before that. It's going to be really hard in a matter of days, like it is already, like in France today, they've announced a curfew. In Israel, there's a curfew. Like in China, obviously, there's a curfew. Certain countries, the death rate is horrible. It's like very tragic, like in Italy. It's a tragic situation right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's people dying and sick all over the world. It's really sad.
Yeah.
But you can be depressed about it, and you can be fearful or you can take action. I prefer to be doing the second part.
Me too. Because if you're not taking action now, if you're not taking action when we have these 2, 4, 6, 8 weeks, whatever it is, 6 months, who knows, then when things do calm down, it's going to be tough to restart.
I can't even imagine it will be 6 months, considering the fact that it is flu and flu has a season and the weather affects the ability of flu to spread. So if you look at flu charts for the last 20 years, flu had 2 peaks in worldwide statistics, which is in December and in February. Mm. And then it goes down by about 90% in March and goes down by an additional 90% in April. Now, this is a different type of flu and is a little bit more violent and so on. So it will have a different flu season, which is now, right now in March, middle of March when we're recording this. This is literally the peak.
Mm.
I think that there's no chance in the world that this could last for 6 months. I think 2 months would be a reasonable amount. I estimate 6 weeks. Let's say even 3 months, that's pretty much it, because it will be so warm in so many countries. It will be something that people can overcome in most of the world.
Your mouth to God's ears, my friend.
Amen. Amen to that.
Me too. All right. Well, let's get off the coronavirus for a second. Let's talk about all your different businesses. Can you give us kind of a brief synopsis of the Kids Entertainers Academy, Balloon Artist College, Generous Marriage, which is somewhat different than something you've done before?
Indeed. Indeed.
Yeah.
It started by me learning on an online course from a course by Julian Mather and Ken Kelly, where the owners and operators of Magician Business LTD, a company in England. And they had a podcast, Magician Business Podcast, which was my first podcast. So I really fell in love in podcasting through that podcast. And it made me realize, after buying a course from them online, that online courses are awesome. I really managed to get like a new income vector, which was back then balloon workshops. And I really enjoyed the process of learning and selling it and executing, like operating a balloon workshop. So it made me think I should do something like that too. And because they were already in Magician Business Podcast, I thought, well, I love balloons as well as magic. And I actually, if I had a time machine, if I was forced to go on a time machine into the past, 200 years into the past, and I had to choose either a pack of balloons or one pack of cards, I would take the pack of balloons with me. Mm. Even though they will be eventually destroyed, I believe this will put me in a better position to show some real magic for me personally. That's how passionate I am with the balloons. Mm. So I started the podcast in 2016 that very, very quickly, within 3 months, have created a big following and an audience of people that are passionate as I am about balloons. I've launched my first course in May 16, and then I just did it again in 3 months later. And so in 2017, I created Balloon Artist College and launched 8 different courses within that year. Mm. And basically everything I did was to help balloon artists in their journey with all sorts of online courses and education. Back then, Ken Kelly and Julian Mather asked me to start to teach through their school, which was Kids Entertainer Academy. And later on, they have suggested to me to buy first Julian's share and then later Ken's share. And I basically became the owner of Kids Entertainer Academy. Now, at that time, it all sounded very scary and unreal. From magician and balloon artist to a podcaster and a school operator, and now to suddenly operating 2 schools.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot. That's when I decided to expand my horizons and to look at what I do in different way. I basically fired my bus driver. So in life, you have this metaphor of who is running the bus. I believe Barry Friedman, that was interviewed in your show, he talked about that too in Magician Business Podcast. That's funny. Okay. It's ironic. So I fired my bus driver, which was the artist. I let the other guy that is inside my heart, I have the artist in my heart and I have the business person in my heart. And I allowed him to start driving the bus. I have created KiviMedia.co. KiviMedia is basically a mom company, like an overarching company that runs podcasts and schools.
We just call it a parent company.
Yes. So for me, it's like, it's mom. So the parent company, KiviMedia, started with operating those 2 schools and trying to create procedures for each of the schools and a vision and just really just doing the day-to-day work of creating new courses every single year, multiple courses and ongoing webinars and challenges and that encourages the creativity of our members. At the same time, I started a new podcast called Generous Marriage Podcast, which is a podcast about relationships. Mm. And I have a co-host there, which is, his name is Shachar Erez, and he's basically a licensed family and marriage therapist. So he understands the professional side of things. I am a coach. I am a business coach in the last few years with our members. I bring into the table the approach that is, if you're not working on your relationships, you will not be able to thrive with your business.
Gotcha.
And these days we are building the Generous Marriage Academy. We already have 3 courses in Generous Marriage Academy. So it's an additional school inside KiviMedia that basically using all the information I have in running a business that is an educational business. And
give me a couple of success stories of the kids, of all 3 actually, kids entertainers and balloon artists and Generous Marriage. Do you have a couple of, I know you have a million, but.
Yeah, I have a million. So I on Balloon Artist College, I would say I have received, unfortunately, 2 people that approached me to share with me that the college have saved their life, literally have saved their life. It's really sad to look at it as a success story, but it's important to raise the awareness for this. But depression, the artist curse is something that is very hard to go through alone. And at least 2 times, people that were fighting depression found Balloon Artist College, and all of the joint webinars and the balloon jams and the meetings, we do like 5 to 10 of them every month. Mm. You don't need to live through life for a long time before we meet again and have fun and learn new stuff. Of course, we have members. Like we had a member that did 1 balloon challenge with us, like a 21-day challenge that we have in Balloon Artist College. Through that challenge, she managed to bring something that she made for the challenge with balloons. She gave it as a gift to a shopping mall that eventually hired her for 8 different festivals with very big account, very big gigs, just from like 1 design.
Nice.
In Kids Entertainer Academy, we have members that literally have become full-time entertainers with either magic or with kids entertainment. Nowadays, we teach soap bubbles, we teach clowning, we teach workshops, balloon storytelling, all sorts of things. One of our members actually reported that they did over $46,000 directly tied in 1 year to the work that we've done with them through these courses. Talking about people that even reach high-end five figures as a result of learning with us. In generous marriage, it's all about saving the marriage. Can you save this marriage? This is like a question that a lot of time people ask us, like, can we save our marriage? And the answer is yes. Relationships are important. We all go through a lot of hurdles with our relationship. I talk about my personal hurdles as well in the podcast. I think that it's really important to put efforts into it, even more important than putting efforts into your business.
Because from what you're saying, what is it? A happy wife is a happy life. If you have a good marriage, then everything else will, or a lot of other things will fall in place.
So actually, this was proven by science. So there was a lot of research done on the amount of income that people make and the healthiness, like how healthy are you. And married people are by far significantly wealthier and healthier. They make more money and they're healthier. Now, it's not easy and it can be, you know, with a lot of fights in the middle, but there are like waves in a relationship. And if you work on not falling too low on the wave, you can actually change your trajectory into the better. I personally think that business is so hard and so complicated. There's so many moving parts. The details matter. Every single detail matter. There's no silver bullet. Sorry. It's all hard work, all uphill. So if you have something going on right now, with your relationship, with your marriage, with your spouse, why should you walk the extra mile and go through all of this hurdle for who? For making more money for who? For your wife that you constantly fight with? No, let's do instead something else. Let's go and watch Netflix. So the amount of time that you lose every day by being pissed, by being angry, by being frustrated, by being with a need for love, a need for connection, a need for safety, all those needs, they are real stuff. If you don't have those needs, how can you focus with your business providing those needs to other people? How can you provide love to your audience if you're not really like getting enough love in your relationship?
Makes sense. So it isn't as far off the beaten track as I thought it was. They are kind of all commingled, you know, one kind of benefits the other or complements the other.
Totally.
Yeah, you know what I'm thinking? What I'll do is I'll put on your show notes page a way someone can join maybe the Kids Entertainers Academy or the Blue, or actually all three, Balloon Artist College and Generous Marriage Podcast. Does that work for you?
It does. I'll make sure that I'll give you the links to do that, and we'll give someone that joins even a copy of my ebook, The Champion Building System, which is a really valuable ebook.
Oh, well, now will that be a bonus just from the people that I send you?
Yes.
Oh, perfect. So go to thevarietyartist.com and I'll have a nice link on Zivi's show notes page. It'll be awesome. And then you can join Kids Entertainers Academy there, Balloon Artist College there, and or the Generous Marriage Podcast, and you'll get that free bonus. It'll be awesome. We'll get off the business thing. We'll get to know you a little better. You want to? We've already gotten to know you pretty well. I mean, for the last 40 minutes or so. But what we're going to do is we're going to play a little game I like to call Fact or Something John Just Made Up. Does that sound like fun?
Yay.
You've been waiting for this, haven't you?
I have waited.
Is it fact? Or is it something John just made up?
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you a headline. You're going to tell me whether it's true or not. And if it is true, tell me a little more about it.
Awesome.
Okay, first headline. Zivi accidentally stole the keys of an entire military prison and then disappeared from it in a public bus.
Unfortunately, that's true.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. Like that moment when I was getting off the bus and I was like touching my pocket and I heard this huge wrinkling of keys. I was like, what is that? And I was putting my hand into my pocket and I was like, oh man, I'm in trouble now because I just got out of the prison where I was serving as a military police officer.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah. That's an important piece of information. I was assigned for a 2-week job of helping people in that prison. We're talking about a prison for soldiers. Yeah, so there are people there that were either involved with drugs usually or involved in all sorts of like sexual harassment of sorts. Mm-hmm. But even some of them that were violent cases of all sorts. I got the keys from one of the officers in the platoon where I was assigned. And he told me, do you see these keys that you're taking now for going over to iron your clothes before you're going out of the prison for an afternoon that you can go for an afternoon, but you need to go back after that in less than 24 hours. And then you see these keys, go and iron your clothes, but give it back to me.
Yeah. Make sure you give them back.
Yeah. Give it back because these are the keys for the entire prison. And I'm not allowed to give it away that people cannot get out of the platoon. Obviously, you can't even get, you are not allowed to take it out of prison because you could duplicate the keys and that's really wrong.
Yeah.
When I got back, I got to the bus station, I understood the mistake I made. I went on a bus back. And when I got back, all of my friends from my unit were standing and shaking their head like, oh man, you're dead. You're so dead. They were assigned to wait for me in the entrance. And, you know, there were no cell phones back then. So I just assumed I need to go back as soon as possible.
I would think so.
Yeah. I got super lucky with no punishment at all for that.
Oh, that's nice.
But it required volunteering for a few additional tasks that were considered really hard. Eventually, I got out of it.
I think the worst thing I've ever done with something like that is I've borrowed the bathroom key at an elementary school, you know, gotten my car and driven away and then looked at my, felt around in my pocket and went, oh, guess what I just did? All right, next headline. Zivi spent $15,000 on an online course.
That is true.
That's a 15. What did that include? $15,000.
That was actually one of the best moves I did in my life. And the return of investment I got from that course was over 1 to 10. So I did a lot. I made a lot of money from learning these things. And basically it was a coaching program when I became the owner of Magician Business LTD and started to operate myself as Kivi Media. I understood I needed to sharpen my skills on thinking big, on strategy, and also on coaching. I signed up for a program that it was really scary to join because of the like $15,000. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It was 8 weeks, unlimited coaching sessions with my coach, a person that was like, that makes $1 million a month. So someone that is high caliber, not in the entertainment niche, obviously. And he created this program that challenges people to achieve greatness and to expand within 8 weeks. In those 8 weeks of the program, I managed to self-publish a book. I managed to grow my business. I managed to challenge myself physically and run on a mountain run, on a special race I call King of the Mountain. And I managed to save my marriage, actually. And that was the point in time where I decided that I have to do the Generous Marriage podcast. It was also a point in time in which I have created a strategy for my business, for Kivi Media. And that strategy really paid off financially. And I serve a lot of people and help them in their journey. And as a result, my business grew by much.
It's the best $15,000 you ever spent, huh?
Definitely. You know what? I asked my wife at the end of that program, look, I just spent $15,000 on this program. It's 8 weeks and it's done. That's it. What do you think about the investment? And she said, I think the program was underpriced.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice, beautiful. All right, next headline. Zivi invented the 6-foot balloon.
No. Oh. I don't even want to be the guy that invented the 6-foot balloon.
You know what I'm talking about, right? That giant thing that people crawl into?
Yeah, the climb inside balloon. We didn't invent the climb inside balloon. We do have a course, a really good video course by an amazing variety artist called Guy Sheffer from Israel. Okay. It's a climb inside course that is available actually on both of our schools, but I didn't invent the balloon.
Oh, great. So they can get that course if they can go to my website and join Balloon Artist College Academy and from my website. Great.
And they will also get my ebook for free.
Excellent. All right. Last headline. Zivi and his family almost drown in the ocean in Thailand.
That actually happened.
Oh. What happened there?
So we were traveling in Thailand in an island, and we were walking on a very shallow water pathway from one island to another. Like it's not very far. It's something like a quarter of a mile or something like that. But by the time we wanted to go back, the sea level changed and we just couldn't see where the path is. So we were walking on sand, trying to get to the other side, but we weren't walking in the same path as we used to go. And we couldn't notice the fact that we are slowly being pulled into the ocean by the stream. Now,
wait, just so I can picture this in my head, how many of you are there right now?
Yeah. To really picture the situation, imagine me holding a baby on one hand and my wife holding a 3-year-old kid. And then I am holding a 5-year-old kid on my shoulders.
Oh my
and
gosh.
We're walking inside the sea. And we're starting to notice that the sea level is going up and up and up, eventually to the point where I'm standing on the ground, but my wife can't stand. She has to swim with a kid on her hands. So I was able to hold her in one hand and to slowly change the direction and to walk very slowly and very carefully towards, like, going back to where we know is pathway.
Oh yeah.
And eventually we managed to just get out of it, but we were shaking like crazy, really afraid of just almost drowning for a good hour afterwards.
Wow, what a harrowing thing.
That was fact. Ooh. Or something John just made up.
That was fun.
That was fun.
You want some fan questions, Zivi?
Yay, let's do that.
Yeah, every time I interview somebody new, I put on my Facebook group that you can ask me questions to ask my guest. So here we go. Annie Banani, the balloon storyteller out of Southern California, says, love this guy. That's not the question. What's one of your most challenging things about coaching entertainers?
Wow, that's actually a deep question. And I know that Annie is a coach herself. She helps people with the health coaching and she helps people transform their lives to a better shape and a better healthy situation.
True.
I really appreciate all that she does to help our peeps, you know?
Yep.
I've been coaching over 125 entertainers and variety artists and performers of all sorts, mentalists, balloon artists, kids entertainers, magicians, all sorts. I've noticed that the most challenging part for me is not taking responsibility for the results that my client will get.
Oh, interesting.
A lot of time you talk with the client, you know what they need to do, you try to show them the way, and you see that they're starting to go into other ways. There's the shiny object syndrome. They see shiny objects and they start to want to do other stuff. I'm a very direct and open and sometimes even a little bit blunt type of person. So I will tell a person, look, this is not going to get you closer to your goal. Mm-hmm. If what you're going to do next week is this, maybe have you considered doing something else? And many times they will really appreciate me being honest and direct and they will change what they are doing. but on other times they won't. And that will be an example of a point where I need to step back and not worry about it. But the hardest part is when someone is sharing with you their problems and they are real and they are severe and they are urgent and you want to help them, you want to help them with the results, but you can't. You can't take ownership of their life and of their results. You need to give them the tool, give them the tools, the compass, the map, the advice, the opportunity to not go through it alone. That's when the responsibility ends.
You can lead a horse to water.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Julia Lee Huffaker, a face painter and balloon artist out of Portland, Oregon, asks, having coached and helped so many entertainers, are there any common missteps or mistakes you see them make?
I'm going to answer this one in a way that might piss some people off. And if you're listening to this right now and you're like, you're pissed by my answer, then I'm just sharing with you my truth. And my truth is that I see like missteps or mistakes that people do, which is related to asking for advices on Facebook. Mm. This might sound counterintuitive. It's a little bit like a taboo. Like, what do you mean? It's so easy. You ask in a Facebook group, you get answers, you get ideas. What's wrong with that, right? Well, 80% of the people that are answering your questions in Facebook are not the right person to answer your question. 80% of the time, you're getting an advice that is either not proven or an advice that generates 20% results. Here's how I look at the 80-20 rule when it comes to getting advices. Like let's imagine you had a problem and you had to go to a doctor, right? And you have a problem, let's say, a specific problem, like, I don't know, with neurology, with your brain or whatnot. Yeah. You go to see a specialist. You won't just go to any doctor. You will go to see a specialist. Well, guess what? If you go to a hospital and just choose a random staff member, yeah? Anyone mm-hmm. you see, 80% of the time, it will not be a doctor.
Right.
There are 5 million people working in hospitals in America, and only 1 million of them is a doctor, is an actual doctor. And even when it is a doctor, most of them are not the specific doctor you need. So you wouldn't go to a cleaning lady in a hospital and ask them, hey, what about my brain? What should I do? Should I take the procedure or not? You wouldn't do that. That's crazy. But that's what people are doing every day of their lives on Facebook with their businesses and marketing. And here's the thing. I am positioned in a place where I know how much people are making when I coach them. That's just something that usually comes up at some point. It's not that they have to tell me that. It's just that they usually do. Yeah. So I know that some entertainers are actually making four figures a year. So up to $9,999 a year. And some entertainers are making five figures, but they are low end, like up to 50,000. And some entertainers are making high end five figures, like from 50 to 99,000. And some people are six figures businesses, okay? When you're asking a question and you're getting an answer back, if you're getting the answer from someone that is from a bracket that is not your bracket, you're getting the wrong advice.
Mm.
You're actually getting an advice that will get you either 20% results or 0%. Now, for a guy that makes four figure or five figure or even five figure high end, right? From their point of view, 20% results is way better than zero. So it must be that it's a good thing to do it. So they will give you the advice and they mean it. They really do try to help you. It's just not the right thing to do. It's really easy for me to say it because I'm a coach and usually yeah. I know where are the 20% that creates 80% of results. I just encourage being a little bit skeptic about the advice you get. Yeah. Try to find out if it is a proven advice, if it has data to suggest that it will work, or just go to people that you really trust. I know you, John, give really good advices on marketing, and I really appreciate your expertise.
Thank you.
And I think that when you go to a specialist, they will give you the 20% of advices that will generate 80% of the results.
Yeah, I think from now on, instead of calling you a coach, we're going to call you the variety artist doctor. The specialist.
Yeah.
All right, next one, just a couple more, and we'll let you go there. Adam Gertzikov, the clown, dad, micro-influencer, actor, writer, husband, and friend, not necessarily in that order, and the writer of clownlink.com, a terrific blog about everything clowning, asks the converse question: what are some great things that are easy to do that performers aren't doing?
I thought about this question before when it was posted on Facebook. The first reaction, honestly, was I was a little bit pissed because looking for the low-hanging fruit is not the 20% effort that gets you 80% results. It's not. It's like just you add something and it's fun, but the long-term game, the annual game, is improve your, like, the hard stuff. Yeah, you can't juggle like four balls in one day. You need to practice for a month, sometimes even three. You can't do handstands in 1 month. You need to practice this for even a couple of years. The same goes with a really good show and a really good performance, and even in business. But I'm not going to disappoint your listeners. I am going to share a few low-hanging fruits ideas.
Please.
In regards to your show, I find that the low-hanging fruit, the best bet where to start, is just being you. Being you, being authentic. If you're shy, be shy. If you're angry, be angry. If you're upset, be upset. Like, just being you gets the audience to resonate way better, and it improves your show. And the compliments that I got from at the end of shows, where I got some amazing compliments, were always when I was really authentic in there, was really caring about the kids that were my audience.
And by the way, I agree with you on that. And I don't know if this is a scientific fact or not. I listen to a lot of my own podcasts, and the people that are really successful, and there's a ton of them to listen to, are the people that are them, whatever that may be, just like exactly like you're saying. Time after time after time, person after person after person, it's them being themselves that has made them successful.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And in business, the low-hanging fruit from my point of view is actually email marketing. Mm-hmm. Now, this might be a little bit ironic. Some people that are listening to you right now are actually in my email list potentially, and they are getting a lot of emails because I use a lot of email marketing.
Yeah.
And I do it proudly. I think that I'm serving my audience that way. But for an entertainer, doing email marketing, sending more, being in touch with people that already booked you, that is so easy. It's cheap, like dirty cheap. You can pretty much do it for free. Every time that you send a good email, with good copy, as we call the text in your email copy, with good copy, you will get booked again and again every single email. So how do you learn how to write good copy? Well, we actually have a course in Kids Entertainer Academy and Balloon Artist College about copywriting, and it will teach you all of these details. But in terms of return on investment, like how much money you get for an investment of time and money, email marketing is your fastest low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, and email marketing your current clientele that you've worked with before is the easiest and fastest way.
Exactly.
All right, last one. Lucy Spielberg, a fairly new listener to the Variety Artist podcast, a magical juggler and balloon artist out of the UK, asks, do you ever wish you had an idea sooner than you did? If so, what was it?
I am the type of person that is very happy with wherever he is and whatever he does. So I love what I do, and I don't think about the past and say, oh, if only I did that and stuff like that, because I really work with my plan and love what I like, where I'm going. Mm-hmm. But there is one thing.
Oh, is there one?
There is one.
Okay.
And that is, I really wish I would start listening to podcasts earlier in my journey. I feel like I've wasted years on listening to junk radio, which is just regular radio. I think that I know, yeah, I was working in the corporate job every day, 2 hours of commuting to work and back, like, so it's like an hour each on each side. I could have become way better at everything I do, way faster, if I had started earlier. That's the only thing that I, from time to time, think about, oh, I should have listened to this earlier.
I'm not just saying this as a fellow podcaster, but it's true. I mean, for probably the first 10 years of my career, I would commute with radio, with either talk radio or music. And then once I discovered podcasts, I was like, oh, I can learn anything that I want almost for free, or a lot of times for free.
Yeah, usually for free.
Yeah, so for the second 10 years, I think I learned more in that second 10 years than ever before.
Yeah, so that's the only thing.
I agree with you. All right, well, that was fun, Zivi. I appreciate you doing my show. That was really fun.
Thank you, John. And I really want to encourage people to check out your website and check out the links for the Kids Entertainer Academy and Balloon Artist College. And who knows, maybe even if you need some help with your marriage, the Generous Marriage podcast, we really do try to serve you guys with high quality content. A lot of what we do is free. You can just check it out with the links that John, will you share that on the site then?
Yeah, I'll put that on my show notes page. And there's also a recommended by John page. So I'll probably put it both places. So that way someone can click on your show notes page, listen to this interview, which has some great information, and then just click on to join the Kids Entertainers Academy or Balloon Artist College, or even Generous Marriage podcast, you know, whatever they're most interested in.
Yeah, this is the time right now, like especially if you're either commuting or stuck at home because of Corona. Either way, this is the time to listen to podcasts and to learn and educate. And it's an amazing time to live in. And thank you, John, for all that you do to support so many people with high quality interviews and ideas. And I take my hat off, man. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And you and vice versa. I know I said this at the beginning, but thank you too. And thanks to all my Variety artists. Tell all your friends about the Variety Artist podcast. And thanks again, Zivi, for hanging out with me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. See you guys.
All right. Now go out and book those gigs, make some money, and have some fun.
That's all for this episode of The Variety Artist. But your journey continues on our website. Go to thevarietyartist.com for more strategies, insight, and resources, as well as show notes on today's guest to assist you in your career. We'll see you on the next episode of The Variety Artist. But until then, go out and book those gigs, make some money, and have some fun.